In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail Mary, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with Luisa and the Light of the Divine Will. And again, this is something that is so amazing. It's what our God is giving to us. It's to begin to live heaven. We've been in darkness for all these years. And I mean, just think about yesterday. We remembered all the men and women who died in war. And the world has been at war since Cain and Abel. I mean, since the fall, really. And the killing, the first sin was murder, murdering one's own brother. And the thousands, the millions of people who have died in war. I mean, Jesus tells Luisa this, and when we read the 24 Hours of the Passion, he says it throughout the 36 volumes, but to pray for all those wounded in battle, pray for all those dying on the battlefield. And I know, what can we do? But Jesus says, you know, in the divine will, there's no time or space. And what he wants us to accomplish is this repairing and redoing in the divine will for every human, every soul on the battlefield, every person that died. And Jesus tells Luisa that, you know, he took everyone's place of in their time of death. He died for every human being. Our bodies are going to die. That's true. But the trauma and the horror of death is Jesus took upon himself. And this is why we want to focus on entering into this light. See that when the divine will reigns, and this is, we're very close to this. This is something that you have to know. It's the world is changing drastically as each person reads the book of heaven, and every word that you read that brings light to us, the world is changing. It's falling away from the hands of the evil one, the prince of this world. And what's coming is the new heavens and the new earth. This new and abundant light, life and love of God is going to be manifested on earth. And it's very close. You have to understand it's very, very close. This is why everything seems to be falling apart. The final two plagues in the book of Revelation is pharmacia, drugs, and homosexuality. The final two plagues, book of Revelation talks about. This is where we are. We have to understand the time we're living in. And that's why when Our Lady appeared to Bruno, she says, time has now come to an end. And he says, the end of the world. And she says, no, the end of the what we have known, this era of the evil one. Everything is changing at this point. So our God is trying to get us ready. And this is why he's given us the book of heaven. He saved the best for last. And this book of heaven is so magnificent that each person enters into this light, this life, this love of God that the saints dreamed of. The saints, a lot of saints said something great is coming. Saint Teresa wanted to live at these final days, and it's not the end of the world. It's the final days of the evil one. What's coming is glorious. What's coming is so beautiful. It's heaven on earth. It's the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So what the Lord is asking us to do is to enter into this abundant life, this light, this love of God, that he saved for this time. So he's giving us the way and the how this is going to happen. And as we read, Jesus keeps on expanding our capacity to embrace this share in divinity, which the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water in the chalice, that drop of nothing into that cup filled with wine. And the drop fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. The sharing in divinity is what God wants with us too. He wants us to begin to long for this time of sanctification. And that's why he says, I'm waiting for the souls who to begin to live in the divine will, I'm waiting for the souls who want the divine will more than anything, even holy things, good things, saintly things. So what does God do? He's prepared everything. Look at Saint Faustina. He says to her, the final devotion that I give to my church before I return. When you listen to Father Gobi, Our Lady says to him, get ready for the return of my son. Many apparitions throughout the world, Our Lady says, get ready for the new heavens, the new earth. Get ready for this new and divine way of holiness, as Pope St. John Paul prophesied, quoting the words of St. Annibal de Francia, the spiritual director, the confessor of Louisa. Everything is ready. So today we're going to look at volume 24, September 21st, 1928. So Jesus says, moreover, the soul who lives in our divine will lives of light. No more darkness. Now we want this life. You know, we've been reading for a while, studying for a while. And Jesus says, the soul who lives. Okay, so there will be this time when this will happen. He talks about it in volume 24. All of a sudden, the kingdom will be here and the people will begin to understand what it means to live in the divine will. He says, the soul who lives in our most holy divine will lives of light, of life, of love. This is the life of God. This is the light of God. This is the way of God. And with the power of this light is different than a saintly life, a good life, a holy life. Remember, the saints have a halo, a nimbus around their head of light because they're doing the will of God. But to live in the will of God is to possess the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. This is what we hope for. This is what we desire. This is what we want. But we have to be free of all that is opposed to the holy humanity of Jesus. Okay, this is our passions, our wants, our needs. Jesus says he's going to free those souls who live in the divine will of the things of earth. And everything that they're going to possess is the things of heaven. This is the light. This is the life. This is the love that Adam lived in before the fall. Image and likeness of God. And now after 6,000 years, in the last 2,000 years, we've been redeemed by our Lord and Savior. He shed every drop of blood so that we would be redeemed. And this kingdom of redemption that he and his mother brought to earth, this universal life began again for the world. And for the last 2,000 years, we've been reading and studying and listening to the saints who have taught us how to do the will of God, how to do prayer, fasting, penance, conversion, mortifying yourself in order to learn how to do the will of God. When you read the lives of the saints, they spent their whole time in mortification. They spent their whole time and what they learned was peace, joy, and happiness by doing the will of God, not the human misery, not the human will. And now Jesus says, I want to give more to my people, to humanity. I want to give more. So Jesus says, the power of the light of the divine will, our divine will, Jesus says, has the virtue of knocking down all evils. Okay, to live in the divine will is to be free of all worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. To be peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy and happiness. It's not the misery that we still have gone through, even though we've been redeemed for the last 2,000 years, but a new and divine way of holiness. So this Jesus says, this power of the light of the divine will has the virtue of knocking down all evils, of taking life away from the passions, dispelling darkness. Do you see when somebody says, well, I'm living in the divine will, you're still very far from that. We've got to have everything that Jesus and Mary had. That's the life of living in the divine will. We want this life. How do we get there? Jesus says, I'm going to give it to the world when I see the souls who want it and long for it. And he says, when that day occurs, the world will shake. That's also in the book of Revelation. The world will shake because it will realize the joy, the happiness, the peace of this life, this light, this love of God. Right now, it's still an arm's length away. Jesus says, if you desire it, you have it. But it's just the beginning. It's the first step. There's many steps. We're climbing a mountain, and our Lord is asking us to let go of everything of the earth and to be focused on this war that we're in, this struggle that we're in, to leave the things of earth, to embrace the things of heaven. We're going to see some really tough times coming. I mean, it's Jesus says this is what's going to happen. He says it's like giving birth. The pains are going to be more and more intense and more frequent until the child is born, until the kingdom is established. We haven't seen anything yet, but listen to what Jesus says. The soul who lives in our divine will lives of light, and the power of this light knocks down all evils. It takes the life away from the passions. It dispels darkness. No more darkness. Think about it. No more wars. When the divine will reigns on earth as it is in heaven, it will be heaven on earth. No more wars. No more killings. No more people dying on the battlefield. Our God has got great, great, great plans. And he is asking us to begin to live this. And this is why, if we are serious about this, get this book. Nobody makes money on these books. No money goes. It goes for just printing the book. And as Archbishop Cherry says, if you have a priest and you want to study the divine will, he says, print the books. He says to Sister Mother Gabriel, he said to her, to Father Elijah, I don't know where this started that you can't read. He says, I've never said that. To read, to study, to put these into practice, to learn how to pray the rounds. And I love the Easter Pentecost rounds. They're just so, it's just eye-opening. I mean, when you read this, it's exactly what Jesus says. This light, this power of the light has the virtue of knocking down all evils, taking life away from the passions of dispelling darkness. So he says, therefore, with its light, the divine will has the virtue of rendering the creature, the human, incapable of doing and of receiving any harm. This is heaven. Incapable. It cannot happen if you're living in the divine will. There's no arguments. There's no disagreements. There's no passions. It's you begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. This is a life of sanctification. This is the new heavens and the new earth. This is the new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II prophesied of. It's going to happen. So Jesus says to show this, he says to understand this, who could ever wage war against the light? Who could ever say to the sun, I'm going to conquer you? No one. Who could ever say, I can prevent the passage of this light of the sky, of the sun? I can stop this. No one. See, it's to begin to live this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, the way Adam lived it in the beginning. Adam was king of the earth. He was the priest. He was the father. So when he lost this, who comes in his place? Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the, the high priest, of all the priesthood, of the father of the age to come. That's one of his titles. It's a new beginning, and Our Lady comes as the mother and queen, the virgin, taking the place of Adam and Eve for this life of redemption. And now something even more magnificent is happening. Humanity is going to have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. How happy we are to be Catholic. The evil one hates this church, and he's trying everything possible to destroy this church. But Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. That means it's an all-out attack that's coming. And it's probably here, inside and outside of the church. It's the same thing that's happening in the States. What is coming, this war that we're in, this battle that we're in, we've been predestined by God to live at this time. And what Jesus has said to Louisa, I'm going to give you the way and the how the kingdom is going to come. And that's the book of heaven. As we read it, as we study it, as we promise Jesus that we'll read every day. I mean, it's between you and Jesus. When you promise him, then be faithful to that promise. We did the vow last week, this vow of victimhood. What is the victimhood? It's to give no more life to worry, no more life to fear, no more life to anger and negativity, no more life to complaining. It's to say, I vow to you, Jesus, that I'm not going to live this life. So, okay, the Lord says, good. And then he says, prove it. Okay, so he's going to present to us situations where are we still going to be upset by what we are going through? Or are we going to say, Lord, I trust in you? The final devotion given to the church. Jesus, I trust in you. I have confidence in you. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're my King. You're my all. You're going to help me through this. I know you are, because you promised this. And I know that you're faithful to your promise. I'm going to be faithful to my promise. Okay, so there is going to be times when the same passions that we've had all our life are in front of us. You're busy. You want to get to this appointment, and there's a car jam, and you need to be there at this appointment, and you're going. What? And Jesus is going, do you trust me? It's to say, yes, Lord, you have got a better plan than what I have planned. Okay, today is your day, and I'm living one with you. I give my fiat. I mean, remember the Blessed Mother. Here she gives birth to the Savior of the world in a cave, not even in an inn, not even in a regular house, in a cave. And Peter goes, Peter. Joseph says to her, we've got to go to Egypt. We can't go back to Nazareth. What is important is she said fiat. She didn't say, wait a minute, I've got a house back there, and it was, yes, let it be done as you say. Total docility, total surrender, total submission. Those are words that are hated today. We have that. Give me that hamburger right now. I want it right now. And there's no patience. There's no peace. There's no joy in any situation. When we have God, everything is, it's always interesting to see what God is going to do. When there's a situation that's completely difficult and not planned, this is where we say to Jesus, okay, I have to see what you're going to do. I really want to, and we might not see it in this life, but Jesus knows what we're looking for. It's for him, his way. And so Jesus says, he says, who could ever wage war against light? No one. Who could ever say I could prevent the passage of light of the sun? No one. And if anyone tried to do it, the light would laugh at that person. And with its triumphing virtue, it would invest him and pass him from above, from below, from everywhere, making fun of him while following its course, following the plan of God. It would keep him under its power and pressure of light unless he went to hide himself in some dark abyss. This light, I mean, when you think of the dark abyss, you know, say when we were in Israel going down to Jericho, there was the valley of death. It was, the sun is so bright, the sand and is so reflective of the light that the darkness is so dark. This darkness, and people would enter into this because they had to get out of the heat of the sun. Even though I'm in that darkness, I have no fear. You were with me. I mean, this is the life of Mary. This is the life of Jesus. They came here to prepare the world for that universal life that Adam lost. And they started this universal life that Adam lost. And now what our God is saying to us, I want you to enter into this universal life where there's no fear, there's no worry, there's no complaining, there's no negativity. And that's what we vowed to on Ascension. We said to Jesus, take my human will, take it to heaven. I don't want to ever see it again. I don't want to live that misery. I want the kingdom of God. I want your divine will to reign in me. And in exchange of giving you my human will, you will give me your divine will. Jesus says yes to that. You have to understand, if you have made this vow, Jesus says, good, good, you're on the right path. He goes, you're going to begin to live little by little a life of peace, of joy, and happiness. The worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the darkness that you run into is not going to be part of your life anymore. See, the sun, this light of the divine will is so magnificent that Jesus says for a lot of people, it's so bright that they go blind because they're used to the darkness. They're used to the dark light. Our darkness. So he's saying to us, trust me, believe in me, hope in me, have confidence in me. This is why wherever you go, I mean, you see the miracle of the sun. It's to get the world ready for this new and divine way of holiness. The light of the sun is nothing compared to the light of the divine will. The light of the sun, Jesus says, is a shadow of the light of the divine will. And this light doesn't affect your eyes. This light is so magnificent. And what is this light? It's to begin to understand what Jesus is talking about, to begin to see things from a divine perspective, from the perspective of Jesus and Mary. It goes beyond the perspective of the saints. The saints have taught us how to do the will of God, and people are enamored by that life of, you know, St. Francis, that they become Franciscans, or the life of St. Dominic, they become Dominicans. I want to possess this life, this light. I want to enter into this life that these saints have had. And Jesus says, that's good. He says, but Jesus says, I want you to have more than what they had. And a lot of people say, what more can we have besides, you know, the life of St. John of the Cross or St. Teresa of Avila or St. Catherine of Siena? What more can we have? That's doing the will of God. When you enter into the divine will, it's uncharted territory. No one has been in this light. It's the light of Jesus. It's the light of Mary. It's the light that Louisa lives in. But to live in the divine will, this is why I love the Book of Heaven. Every day, when you read, every day, it's a new beginning. It's something that just astonishes each and every soul that's reading. I mean, I hear it from everybody who's reading. They go, did you know what this is? Like, and they, a lot of times what people do is they call me and they said, listen to this. And they read it again. Jesus said this. And they read it again. Can you believe it? I go, yeah, it's just, this is the new and divine way of holiness. And they're read, listen to it again. It keeps on expanding as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice. So Jesus says this. He says, this does not the Son do this, that it overwhelms humanity to the point of you think that you can do better than being in the light of the Son? Much more so does the Son of my divine will, Jesus says. The soul who lives in this light does nothing but expand the capacity of her intelligence to begin to see things from a divine perspective, to begin to see things from Jesus's point of view, not a human, a divine perspective. That's why the priest every day says, pray that you become that drop of nothing entering into that cup filled with wine. That drop of water becomes wine. May we share in the divinity of Christ, expand our capacity in our understanding to be able to receive more light. This is why when you read the Book of Heaven again, it's brand new. Everybody basically says, I read this before, but I didn't see this. Why? God is expanding our capacity to receive more light, to receive a deeper understanding of what this kingdom of God on earth, as it is in heaven, is all about. Jesus says, so each act done in my divine will, divine fiat, forms with its light the void in the human mind to be able to communicate more greater light to the soul. Each act done in my divine will. So again, when you learn the rounds, when you really learn the rounds, what does Jesus show us? He says basically this: each act that you do, each round that you make in my divine fiat forms with its light. You're entering into a deeper understanding of the mind of Christ, the void of the human mind, to be able to communicate. God now can communicate more, greater light to the soul. That's why everything that you've studied in the seminary, everything that you've studied, the theology, it's just the beginning of diving into this infinite ocean of light, of love, of life, and drowning there, never to leave. Each moment, each act, each thought, each word, each deed, each round that you make in the divine will communicates more light to the soul. It's heaven. Heaven isn't stagnant. You know, some people say, well, we're used to that. You know, you get up, it's another day. It's the sun rises, the sun sets. It's another day of order. Divine will is more than that. Divine will is every microsecond, if we could be aware of it, it's something new and more beautiful. It's more magnificent. It's, Jesus says, when we do a round, when we do our act in the divine will, the souls in heaven get a double heaven. The saints in heaven receive a double heaven. Every act that you do, this is an explosion of I love yous from earth to heaven, and heaven is exploding in love. It's that's God. That's what we're entering into, this abundant life. So Jesus says, my daughter, just as the light of the sun with one single blow of light gives light to the whole of humanity in such a way, in the same instant and with one alone of its acts. Okay. Again, the acts, the rounds that you do, it gives light to the gaze. It gives light to the mouth. It gives light to the hands. It gives light to the steps, to everything. Nor does it need to repeat its act of light so many times for so many members as the creature has to do. As God is doing this. But one single act of light is enough for everything and everyone, so that each member and object may have a light all to itself. That's God. We're entering into this life, this light, this love of God. We're participating in God. What does scripture say? What we are now is children of God. What we are going to become, we do not know, but we are going to become like him. Image and likeness. Through holy baptism, we're in God's image. And now God wants us to enter into his likeness. We become like him. Why? Because we're going to see him as he is. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen any. When that day happens, when that glorious day happens, where the kingdom of God is on earth as it is in heaven, it's the beginning of the beatific vision. It's the just the beginning. And that's what Our Lady said to Bruno. She said to Bruno, my children are going to enter into eternity where they belong, where the evil one and his children will always be trapped in time and space. That's here, trapped in time and space. We have been redeemed, but we haven't entered into that new and abundant life yet. It's beginning, but it's certainly not here. And so what our God is saying is, I'm looking for those as they longed for the Messiah of the Old Testament and the Messiah can. He says, now he says, I want my children to long for the kingdom of God on earth. That's why he only gave us one prayer, the prayer, the Our Father. One prayer he gave us. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus says, he says, all this light will be given to each soul, each person, and the same for the acts done in my divine volition. Since they are children of the light of my divine will, that's us, with one single act, they can make light for everyone, past, present, and future. Why? It's Jesus who's doing it. It's his life that we're living. It's Mary's life that we're living. When somebody says, well, I can do divine acts. No, you can't. I'm sorry. Humans can't do that. But if we live the life of Jesus, if we live the life of Mary, take my human will to heaven, in exchange, give me your divine will. Jesus is doing that. We're in his image and likeness, not ours. Since they are children of the light, they've surrendered. They're living that docile life, submitted totally to God. He says, with one single act, they can make light for everyone and for everything. It can extend everywhere because it is a virtue and a property that the light of my divine will possesses within itself. That with one single act, it can give life to all of humanity, all of it, all of heaven, all of earth. Jesus is doing that. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. I don't want my heart beating anymore. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. I don't want to breathe humanly anymore. I want you, Jesus, to breathe in me. I want to surrender completely to you, that you can reign in me. I just don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to reign. I want to think when you're thinking. I want to speak with your speaking. I want to dance in your dancing, sing in your singing. I want nothing of me. I only want you. This is the divine masterpiece that Jesus says he's going to do with those souls who are living in the divine will. He is the masterpiece. He is God Almighty. And when we're in his image and likeness, that's what's coming. It's not about being good and holy and saintly. That's volume 1 through volume 10. We have to become a saint. But now Jesus wants us 11 through 20, he now wants us to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. She's the only one that's done this so far. That's the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. That's why we go to her. Why? Because she possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. These teachings in the Book of Heaven were given to her and she studied it. You look at the pictures of her. She's usually got a book in her hand, whether outside or inside. Why? She's studying the word, meditating on it. And what's she doing? She's entering into this life, this light, this love of God. Why? Because she knows that it has the virtue of this one single act that she can do, that what Jesus taught her, can give light to all of humanity. That's the life of Jesus. That's the life of Mary. That's the new Adam and the new Eve. It's more than what you can imagine. He says, and if there can be any difference, it on its part of those who receive it, one who is disposed The one who wants this takes the good of the light and profits from it. The one who is not disposed, even though he feels himself full of light, and I know some people that think that, does not take the good that it contains. It happens to the sun. It gives light to everyone. And no one can say, to me, does it not give its light? And since all can receive this light as they please, the light of the sun, it provokes no jealousy, Jesus says. However, there can be a great difference. Some may use this light in order to work, and they earn their profits. Some enjoy the light and remain idle and earn nothing. Some make use of it to amuse themselves, some to sin. So Jesus says, what is your desire? How are you disposed to receive this? Is it for you? Well, why are you doing what you're doing? If it's for the glory of God, good. That's why we were created. We were created to enter into this life of God, image and likeness of God. Okay, let's look at our DNA. Our DNA is to get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and become food for worms. That's what our DNA now says. But what did Adam's DNA look like? Image and likeness of God, eternally young, as God is eternally young. What our Lord is saying, I'm bringing you back to where I wanted humanity to be. And so you look at the great people of the Old Testament. They never received the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. They never received the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. They never were ontologically changed at baptism. Were they bad? No, it wasn't time. And so for the last 2,000 years, we've had the sacraments and the sacramentals. And those who want the sacraments and sacramentals have them every day if they wish. And then there's that. Now what's Jesus saying? He says get ready for a new and divine way of holiness, never before seen, as the men and women of the Old Testament never saw the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Never had the ontological change of holy baptism. Never received the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says now he's going to overflow this light, this love, this life of God. He's going to get ready to shower humanity with what he wanted Adam and his children to have forever. And that's why this is so great a time to be alive. And as you begin to read, you begin to thank God. Thank you that I could live at this time. This is a tough time, but I thank you that I could live at this time because you're going to do this, Lord. I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to learn how to live in the divine will as you taught Louisa, as Our Lady taught Louisa. This month of May, this is the day when the promise, the consecration to the Blessed Mother happens. Pray it. If you can, in front of the Blessed Sacrament. If you can, if you can't get to a church, if you have the internet, go to exposition of the Holy Eucharist, live exhibition, our Eucharist of the Lord. Look at our Eucharistic Lord and pray the prayer that's found in the Virgin Mary and the King of the Divine Will. Pray that prayer. Make this consecration to Our Lady. Give your life to Jesus and Mary. Begin to live this light, this love, this life of God that Adam lost. Begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that the saints didn't know about. There was many saints that were, to understand this, go to luisapicaretta.me, download the book, The Prodigies of the Blessed Mother. If you love Our Lady, Jesus says, the saints have talked about my mother and they've told us how beautiful my mother is. But Jesus says, I am the only one that can describe her in detail. I can show you how beautiful it is because she is, because I am the Son of God. She is the Mother of God. And I can explain it more than any saint. So when you read the prodigies of the Blessed Mother, I mean, if you've read the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom and you're enamored by that, wait till you begin to read what Jesus says about his mother. This isn't St. Bernard. This isn't St. Maximian Kolbe. This isn't St. John, what is his name? Louis de Montfort. It's Jesus that's talking. When you read this, your whole life changes. We are so fortunate as Catholics to have the Blessed Mother. We are so fortunate to have this second Eve, this Eve of the King of Redemption. And what Jesus is now saying is, now is the time that my children are going to be in my image and likeness, the new Adam and the new Eve. As we enter into this life, and like I said, it's going to be difficult. God's going to test us. We're going to say, yes, I want this. Yes, I want to enter into this life. God goes, good. Now, what are you going to do in this situation? You're going to panic? What are you going to do in this situation? Cry and weep? Oh, terror all around? No. It's, we trust in him. We believe in him. We hope in him. And the joy is when we're in a situation that's really impossible, we're going to say to him, to our Lord and our Lady, can't wait to see what you're going to do here. This is an impossible situation. Then God goes, really? I'm good at impossible situations. He can bring about magnificent things. Unheard of, like he says, the divine will is going to bring about unheard of prodigies to humanity. The miracles that are going to happen through Luisa's intercession are going to astonish the world. Everyone was going to be given the opportunity to be a baptized Catholic. You wait till you see what God's got planned. Everyone will become Catholic. Jesus says that. The survivors of the great chastisement, he says, will be living in the divine will. The survivors will be living in the divine. What does that remind you of? The Ark of the Covenant, I mean, the Ark of Noah. The survivors were in that ark, and the humanity began again. What's going to begin again is the new and divine way of holiness, the image and likeness of God. So Jesus says this, the light does not change. It is always light and performs its office of light, but not all of those who receive this light make profit of it or use it in the same way. So he says, now this is for us. He says, such is my divine will and the acts done in it. They are always light, love, life. But those who profit from this light are the ones who are disposed. Pray in this consecration that you make today. Pray that you are disposed to this light. Pray, ask Our Lady, you know, she is Theotokos, Mother of God, Mother of all of humanity. Ask her to lead you to her Son so that you can be filled with this light, this love, this life of God. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Luisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.